We began to discuss Shabbos, the Avodah, what we have to work on, Shana B'Shana, the idea that we brought down from the altar of Slabodka, the first time that he went to the Kosel. This is obviously way before there was a Shichur. And it was very, the Olam that went with him was very unimpressed with his, he came, he raised Kriya, he walked away. He didn't make a big Asik out of his, they thought they were going to see a whole, his Pashtas Agashmi is from the altar, by the Kosel. He walked away. So they asked him afterwards, what's going on? So the Alter said a fascinating thing. He said that, he said he reminiscent what he saw in Europe. There was a guy who stole something from a young lady, her pouch or whatever, and he was running away, and the lady was chasing him. And the lady was screaming, Goslin, Goslin. And the Goslin himself was screaming, Goslin. Says the Goslin was screaming, Goslin. Why was he screaming, Goslin? To detract it from himself. Nobody thought he's the Goslin. He's screaming Goslin. So the Alter said, I don't want to be that guy. As the Yerushalmi says, Kol Dor Shaloi Nivne B'Yomov, any generation that the Beis HaMikdosh is not built in that generation, it's considered Kilu Chorav B'Yomov. It's like it got destroyed. That means that each one of us is responsible for the Chum. The Chum is... And the beginning of the responsibility is to feel that sense of the Tzar HaShchina. That's the beginning. Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal used to say that Tisha B'Av is the gauge of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, because if you see somebody by a chasana, it doesn't always mean that you're the best friend. It's a chasana. Well, my son, chasana geshmakazach. There's feud, there's music, there's socialization. It's geschmack. The fact that Reuven goes to Shimon's chasana, it's a nice thing, it's a nice gesture. It doesn't really, it's not a measurement of the relationship. He says if Shimon is bitzar and Reuven comes and he shoulders that pain and he's mitzayer himself, bitzar chaveri, that's the gauge of a relationship. That's the gauge relationship you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that pain is not there, so then there's the whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You may have a Gevaldige Shabbos and a Gevaldige Yom Tov and a great Purim and a great, but if Tisha B'Av is just another day, right, and just finding different things to be able to make it through the day, then Rav Shimshon is saying that your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a lot of help. Because Tisha B'Av is where you can really... The Dubna Magid, the Seichat Tzadik Levroche, came to Lvov, famous city. In that city, the famous Rav was the Yeshus Yankiv. The famous Yeshus Yankiv. And it was Tisha B'Av. And the city asked the Dubna Magid that he should speak. About the Churban, about this. And the Dubna Magid said, is the Rav going to come? He said, absolutely, the Rav is the one who asked us to come. He says, then I can't speak. So you think can't speak because Yeshus Yankiv, how can you not go in? They thought, man, you know, he's embarrassed to speak in front of the Yeshus Yankiv. He said, I can't speak if Yeshus Yankiv. I said, why not? They said, if the Yeshus Yankiv is there, if Yeshus Yankiv is there, it's Pikuach Nefesh. They said, Pikuach Nefesh for who? He said, for him. If I'm going to talk the way the Dubna Magid talks about the Churban, the rabbi's life is in danger. So they took that as a nice musavar to this. He ended up speaking, and the Yeshua's Yankiv fainted. And they thought Nebuchadnezzar died. I mean, Dubna Magid knew what he was talking about. That was the sense that they had of what it means. What does it mean? This is Zalman Meltzer, a Chatzadik Levracha, in his Sefer, the Evan Ozawal Rambam, he has a whole piece on the Zman Kriyishma. What's the right time to say Kriyishma? So we know it's avada zman is vasikin. It's a question in the Rishonim whether vasikin, the advantage of vasikin, is a din in kriyashma, or is vasikin an advantage in the zman tefillah? Makes a difference in halacha. Somebody wants to have the mile of vasikin every day. According to those who hold it to just kriyashma, just wake up, say kriyashma, you're done. If it's a mile in the davening, then the whole davening has to be in a... So the Eben HaOzel was from the Yechidim, who was of the opinion, after he worked through the Rambam, the Shitas of Rambam, he came out, that according to the Rambam, Vesikin is the Zman. To daven after Vesikin is B'diyevet. Iker Zman Krishmu Tfilah is Vesikin. And if you look in, it's not in hiding, it's in the Eben HaOzel. I'm not going to go through the reasoning now because it's Tisha B'Av. In the Eben HaOzel, in Perek Aleph, in the Rambam, he goes through the whole. So when he finished his conclusion, his analysis, he turned to the boy that took care of him. They used to walk him to shul every morning. And he said, we have to change. We're starting to daven by a vasikin minyan. So tomorrow we're going early, based on how I came out, halacha l'maaseh, and he was very strong about it. So the boy obviously made sure he got up a little earlier than usual, and he was ready. The Eben HaOzel gets up, and lo and behold, Eben HaOzel doesn't go. He says Krishma. He's out. He stays home. He's sitting and learning like he always did. Finally, the Bacha thought maybe he's missing something. So he went over to the Rebbe. Went over to the Eben HaOzel. He said, didn't we make up that, you know, we're starting to daven by Vosikin? He said, ich hab noch einmal durchgegangen the sugya. I went through the sugya again, and I concluded that we should not be davening Vosikin. The Bach was shocked. Because this analysis and this conclusion of the Eben HaOzel was months of work that he came to this conclusion. And he had no way out. This is the Rambam Shita. You could look at his, after Tisha B'Av, you could look at his conclusion. So the boy found it hard to believe that the Eben HaOzel changes, went through the sugya again since last night. He told him, Neinich, Ma'ayin Giva Nochamol in the sugya in Gittin. So now the boy got very mixed up. Sugya in Gittin. To the best of his knowledge, there's no sugya in Gittin that would give us a new understanding in Zman Krishma. Do you know what's he talking about? We must be after davening. After davening, he tells him as follows. The Eben HaOzel all the years davened in a shul. The whole area was called Shchunas Rand. Right? Maybe it's Mishpocha with Yitzis and Nochut. The whole Shchuna was called Shchunas Rand. And the shul that they davened in was the Rand Beis HaKnesses, the main shul in the neighborhood. That's where they davened. All the years, the Eben HaOzel davened in that shul. He says, so Lamaisa, he says, for the last several years, he says, people come over to me while I'm folding my talis and tefillin after davening. And they wish me a good day. And I wish them a good day. And we have a friend lecha, we have a friendly relationship. He says, and mistama amahanavim. And if I would stop doing it, Miss Thomas, some people be bizarre that I'm not in that minyan anymore. That after all these years where we have this relationship and I'm already being mahana them and now I'm going to stop. He says, this year when I went through the sugi and gittin, the sugi of the churban beis hamikdash, I was makabel on myself a new kabbalah. Not one Jew will be bizarre for me this year. There won't be one Jew. He says, I'm going to be mitzayah then. I feel like a Messiah sein ein Yid. That goes against the Sugyan Gitten, was if a Hadur gegangen. The Sugyan Gitten. So it's better for me not to be Yoitzid al Chathila from the Rambam and make sure I go through the Sugyan Gitten properly. That was Eben HaOzel. That was with all his Yerushamayim and with all his. That was Eben HaOzel. And that's the point when we go through the Tisha B'Av. we have to realize that it's a time of reflection. And it's a time that we have to work on ourselves. It's not a question of avelus. It's a question, as Rav Shimshon is saying, it's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eibishter doesn't need our nicham avelim. The Eibishter doesn't need nicham avelim. The Eibishter needs constructive work. That we should be doing something. We should be misakin ourselves. And again, the Gedolim understood it. Rav Man Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a man who had tremendous honor from his Sforim, it's called Divrei Mordechai and Shas. His son is a famous individual today, lives in Bnei Brak. Rav Man, he was close with Rav Chaim Knievsky. So his father, Rav Mordechai Man Zatzal, was a real Litvak, ran a very Litvische Beis Medrash. It was Matze Tisha B'Av. And a Hamish guy went up to the Almud, to Daven Ma'ariv. And he wanted to know, does he say his Nusach? His Nusach was Nusach Svald. With Shir HaMalas, Mit Kaddish, and then Vehu Rechem. The Ashkenazim just start with Vehu Rechem. This is like a joke to ask Rav Mordechai Man Zatzal, if you say Shir HaMalas. But this guy was such a Hamish guy, he didn't even understand that the question was like from Mars. To ask that from Rav Man is like from Mars, you know. He asked him. Without flinching, Rav Man looked at him and he said, Mot yetzt misabul given, we just won misabul, we were on Avelis for 24 hours. Over chum beis hamigdash von sinas chinom. Zog deine nusach. Could you imagine? Say your nusach. So in Rav Man's yeshiva, Motzei Tisha B'Av, Mot gezogt shir hamalas. That's like Mars. That's a bigger chiddush than Mars. That's like having a minion on Mars. But these were people who understood. This was a natural reaction. It wasn't avoided. After going through a Tisha B'Av, it was a natural reaction. It's not like Rav Man prepared himself for this question. He couldn't have. Because this is like a question from nowhere, from the mamish no man. But Rav Man was prepared because that was the essence of the day, of what he did. We talk about the Churban. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll talk more about the Inyan of the Sinas Chinam, the Sugi of Kamtze Bar Kamtze. I want to talk a bit tonight on some of the other Averis that are brought down in the Gemara and Shabbos Kuf Yutes on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And to understand, not to get distracted. Because obviously, Chas V'Shalom to go through Tisha B'Av and not to think, that's the worst. That's terrible. But to go through Tisha B'Av and to think, and not to actually come up with something constructive, is almost as bad. It's almost as bad. So just to, you know, listen to things or think about sad things, and that's not the point. The point is to do something. So you think about the Churban. I want to share with you that the Averis that we have to think about are much more chomer than the Churban. This shmuz I heard from Rav Shalom Shadron, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when I was a kid. And Rav Shapsi Yudalevich, also a Maggid in Yerushalayim, says a very similar idea. So I'm going to go through some of the points that he makes. But really, Rav Shalom Shadron was the one who started this whole idea. When he spoke about the Indian of Churban, Rav Shalom Shadron said, we think that the worst thing in the Jewish calendar is the event of the Churban, the actual destruction of the temple, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shalom Shadron said, no, Chet is much more chomer than the Churban HaBayis. Chet is much worse. He went through a couple of sugyas. The Gemara, the end of Makkos, talks about Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva, you would call him the man of steel, Ish HaBalzel. The man who mamish emotionally, when you go through Shas and you go through the Medrashim, Rebbe Akiva was somebody that never, never lost a beat. And the Gemara brings down the end of Makkos, the Sugya says, Hoyom Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Malchum HaDerech, V'shomu, Koyel Hamuna Shel Roimi. And this was the sound that they heard coming from Rome was a celebratory sound, musical sound. And they heard it for 120 mil, a distance of 120 mil. That's how powerful and enhancing sound that this was. And the Tanoim were heartbroken that the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, and these, or if they have a desire, look what they have. So they're crying. Rebbe Kiva is Masachik. Rebbe Kiva was always able to find the element in this, in what was happening, and be able to overcome the grief that the other Tanoim had. He was Mamish Masachik. And the Gemara goes through where his, what his response to the Tanoim was, how he was able to be happy, or how he was able to express some level of simcha in this matzav. And he explained it. He said, if this is going on for them, imagine what's in store for us. Fine. The next ma'isa, they saw shul yotzei mibeis kol shel kedusha. Nebuch a fox going out of the beis kol shel kedusha. Very depressing. They were crying. And he was smiling. Mamish, a man of steel. Man of steel. But here's the sugya that Rav Shlomo Shadron zeroed in on. A real tragedy that Rabbi Kiva was experiencing at the time was his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, was dying. And Rabbi Elazar HaGadol was going through a difficult ending to his life. And the Gemara says like this, famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara says that they went into Rebbe Elazar, it's in Perek Chelek, and they saw him in tremendous pain. And Rebbe Elazar himself said, Chema Aza Ba'olam. Rebbe Elazar himself said, look at the Chema Aza, look what's going on in the world. The anger that a man like Rebbe Elazar, the great Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar HaGadol, that his two hands were two Sifra Torah, he was Rebbe Elazar HaGadol. And Rebbe Elazar himself said, this is a time of anger, Chema Aza Ba'olam. And they all were crying. The Talmidei of Rebbe Elazar were crying. Who was the Talmud Muvik of Rebbe Elazar? Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva was the Talmud Muvik of Rebbe Elazar. The Hoyer Rebbe Kiva Misachik. Could you imagine? He had a smile. He was showing some sign that there's something good here. And here he has to confront, challenge his Rebbe. Imagine your Rebbe telling you, what are you smiling? Your Rebbe is on his deathbed in Tsar. And he turns, he says, Lama. And Rebbe Kiva was still able to answer that. Rebbe Kiva tells his Rebbe, Omrulai, Efshe Sefer Torah Shorei B'Tzar V'Lo Nifka. The other Talmidim of Rebbe Elazar say, Rebbe Elazar is a Sefer Torah. Look at it, it's Tzar, how could we not cry? Omar Lohen L'Kach Ani Mesachek. Kol Zman Sh'ani Roya is Rabbi, my Rebbe, as long as I see my Rebbe had an unbelievable life and he never experienced any pain and everything just went perfect, maybe our Rebbe got his schar in this world, and who knows, next world he'll get punished. Imagine the Talmud of the Kiva. I know that the Rebbe is going to have a full Gan Eden. It's hard to read the words of the Gemara, but it's not finished. Rebbe Elazar turns to Rebbe Kiva, Amar Loi. I can't even imagine. Whenever I read this Gemara, I can't imagine being in Rebbe Kiva's shoes. The Rebbe turns to Rebbe Kiva. He says, "Have I ever did Avera?" What do you answer your Rebbe? Have you ever seen me? Have you seen me doing a bear? Omuli Akiva. Kulum chisalti minatoyer kula. This is Rebbe Elazar HaGadol. Did you ever see me miss one siman in Shulchan Aruch? Did you ever see me miss one Ramah? Have I missed anything? Please tell me. Tell me now. Oh my Lord. Limatani Rabbi, you my Rebbe, you taught me. A pasuk in Kehelas. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov le'echta. You taught me. I would never say it myself. You taught me the pasuk in Kehelas that it's not shaykh. Everybody has something. This is Rebbe Kiva. Okay, so you think, okay, unbelievable. Steal. Korban. Steal. The celebrations of Rome, even his own Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe Kiva, you know, sometimes they say, how would you be if you went through that? Nobody had a Misa Mishunah like Rebbe Kiva. He had the hardest death. Masreka Shobarzo. And part of the Gemara is found in the end of Brochus. But the Medrash and Mishlei is even clearer. The Medrash and Mishlei says, they were literally combing his skin. You know how it is when you have one little blister that's painful, one burn. Masreka shobarza. The Kari Krishna, he was reading Krishna, that's found in the Gemara in Brachas, but here the Medrash adds the word. The Gochin, he's smiling. The man doesn't. He doesn't like him. So much so that the one, the executor, was telling him, what's with you? Have you lost your mind? How are you smiling? Omale, Saba, Saba, are you a cheresh? Are you a mevad pisurim? Omale, tipach rucha dahu gavra. But Kiva tells him, you fool. Tipach rucha dahu gavra. I'm not a cheresh. I'm not oblivious. I'm not living in oblivion. My entire life I read, he says, I was Mekayim. I loved Hashem with my whole heart. I was Mekayim, I have no doubts. I never experienced it. So as much as I said it every day, I never actually experienced giving my soul. Now I am. So begin because of that, ani kori Krishna v'ani gochin. So this is Rebbe Kiva. I'm reading Krishna and gochin. So it's Rebbe Kiva is a man we can't understand. His Torah we don't understand. Like Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu. And his strength of character can't be explained. So does Rebbe Kiva ever cry? Yes! Rebbe Kiva cries. Zot Reb Shalom Shadron. You have to go to Gemara and Nozer, Daf Chof Gimel. We just had the Parsha in Matas. Over there the Torah says, Tashem Yislach Lo. And Chazal tells us, what is the Torah talking about? It's talking about somebody who doesn't want to do a chet. Who wants to do a chet, doesn't accomplish the chet. Because there's Ataras Nadogim. And the Gemara says, Rebbe Kiva said, it still says Hashem Yislach Lo. You see that even the attempt to do a chet needs a kapara. Imagine if somebody actually does an avera. Imagine the kapara that they need. And he burst out crying. You take the whole picture of Rebbe Kiva. The only thing that breaks Rebbe Kiva is chet. There is nothing else. Says Rav Shalom Shadron Zetman, that chet is worse than the churban. Because the churban did not make Rebbe Kiva cry. He was able to unpack it and take off what you see. And unpack it to the degree that he was able to isolate a gochin. He was able to isolate a smile. When his Rebbe died, he was able to unpack the tzar and identify a gochin. When they were executing him with burning hot metal cones, he was able to be a gochin. But Hashem Yislach Lo. Hoyabochi. So Rav Sholem Shvadron Zatzal said that if we go through Tisha B'Av, even if we manage to cry over the Churban, but we don't internalize Chet, we don't internalize our own connection to it, so we miss the boat. We miss the boat. Because that's the main thing. The Tana Rebbe Kiva, the Tana Eliki Rebbe Kiva taught us that the Bochi has to be on Chet. That's the Bochi. The Bochi has to be on Chet. When we look at the Churban, the Gemara gives different reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was Churav. I'm not going to go through all the eight reasons found over here in Daf Kuf Yutes, Masechet Shabbos. Just want to read the first two. And perhaps we could take a little bit from these first two and machazik ourselves over Tisha B'Av. I think everybody can take something from at least the first two. And the Gemara says, what was the first reason? Amar Abaye, Lechor Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shechilu Bo'as HaShabbos Shenema U'mishabsei Sai He'elimu Einehem. Now we have to understand a critical thing which has to do with the Churban. Because a lot of times we read different mises of the Churban and we feel that those things don't exist anymore. The Gilui Arayos, the Shechichas Domim, certain elements that we read about, we feel like they're already, they're taken care of. But there's a fascinating sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara talks about Pekid Ovo Yisrael Bonim. And the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question. That one pasuk implies Pekid Ovo Yisrael Bonim, that Hashem actually will punish the children based on the parents of Eretz. And then we have the other pasuk that says Lo Yumsu Ovo Yisrael Bonim. So the Gemara says, what's going on? And the Gemara says that Chiyai Gavna, where the children still follow in the chet of the others, then the punishment is given both for the others as well. So when we talk about Gil HaRayah, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zarah, Chil Shabbos, and all that, as long as we still have remnants of that, we're carrying the entire load. I'll tell you what I heard from Rabbi Yankov Zatzal when I was about 12, made a big impact. He said that when we talk about carrying chet, we say, b'chatoreinu u'ba'avoinois avoiseinu. There's a big difference between chet and ovoin. Chet generally means shkoga, means something you do by mistake. And an ovoin is amazing. Right? Ovoin is amazing. So Rabbi Yankov says that what we say when we say in the davening, Ki b'chatoreinu u'ba'avoinus aviseinu, what we're saying is this Gemara. As long as we still have a chet, we're carrying the avoinus. We're carrying the avoinus of aviseinu. Until we eradicate those areas, we're not just carrying our chet, we're carrying the avoinus. Until we actually cleanse the whole, whatever that shemitz is. So a person starts off, the Gemara starts, Chil Shabbos. So most people feel like, that's good, I'm not a Machal Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, Chil Shabbos. Lechor v'beis HaMikdash, Elo b'shvil shechilu bo'es HaShabbos. I'm not a Machal Shabbos. Rabbi Avigdor Miller zecher tzadik livrochem used to say that the Novi Yechezkel said, when he talks about Chil Shabbos and Hashem's anger, he talks about the Dor HaMidbar. What was the Dor HaMidbar? Yechezkel HaNovi says that Hashem says that they were marbel Chil Shabbos in the Midbar. You hear Rabbi say? They were marbel Chil Shabbos in the Midbar. So he is a bomb kasha. It says, Marbel Chal Shabbos in the Midbar? In the 40 years that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, it's recorded twice. Twice, anything to do with Chilul Shabbos. With a total of three people. One is by the Parshas Haman, where two people went to try to find Mon on Shabbos. By the way, they didn't succeed. They didn't find Mon. And then, years later, the Mekoshesh, who the Gemara says in Shabbos was L'shem Shemayim Niskaven. What was the big Chilul Shabbos in the Midbar? What in the world was the big Chilul Shabbos in the Midbar? What's some Shem Mechalim then? What were they Mechalim Shabbos? And the Navi calls it, they were Marba L'chalul Shabbos. What was the Chilul Shabbos? Where is it? It's not even found. That was Rav Avigdor Miller's question. I always felt that there's a posha to teretz, to this kasha. And if we look in the Gemara, I think we have the answer in the Gemara. The Aruch Lener made a very scary observation. The observation, and it's found in the drushes of the Aruch Lener. He says that we know that when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, there's no Tekiah Shofar. Chazal, when Mevakel Tekiah Shofar. In fact, there's some opinions hold, even if you would blow, you wouldn't even get a mitzvah. The Yesh Koyach Biyad Chacham, and they mamish eradicated the mitzvah. It's a debate. Rabbi Kiveh, it's a debate. But the Aruch Lener says as follows. He says, one thing I could tell you, in the full gamut, and he goes through history. He says, whenever Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, listen to the Aruch Lener. It was always an unusual year following. That year was unusual. The following year, after that year of Rosh Hashanah, was unusual. Either unusually great, or unusually difficult. Both Chorbanos of the Beis Hamikdash, but the Mikdashes, Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, that happened in the year that was Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. But guess what? The Binyan HaMishkan was Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. The Kapor and the Chet HaEgel, Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. The best things that happened to us happened Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. And the Aruch Lener says a Goinish of art, but it's unbelievably powerful and unbelievably scary. He says, the Rishonim say that Kol the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kol Shana Shaloi Miriam B'Tchilosa. Any year you don't blow shofar at the beginning is Miriam L'Besofa. It's not a good year. Meaning we need the shofar. But Tosfos brings down the Bahag. That's not Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. That even if there's no shofar, it's still okay. Says the Aruch Lener, it's not that there's no shofar. Shabbos is the shofar. Shabbos is such a schus for us. Shabbos is such a schus for us. That's the biggest milah. Shabbos. The milah from Shabbos. And Shabbos becomes the shofar. Says the Aruch Lener, if our Shabbos is a kosher or a shofar, it's the best year ever. Chas v'sholom, if the Shabbos is not the way it should be, then it's taka. It's a year without a tekiah shofar, with a pasul shofar. And that's why he says, kimat ruach hakodesh, the Aruch Lener. That's why in our history, you never have a year of Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis Peshabbos. That's a regular year. There was always something going on. Usually good, or chas v'sholom challenging. As a result, that's what he says. That's Shabbos. So what does it mean, Shabbos? If you look at the Gemara says, what is Shabbos? The Gemara says, a washing. It doesn't say they were chal Shabbos. It starts off with chal Shabbos, but then the Gemara says that, l'chor yishalayim elvish, and the Gemara brings a pasuk. What's the pasuk, the Gemara says? Mishabsoisai he'elimu. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Helimu doesn't mean you were Mechala. Helimu means you ignored it. You ignored it. The Divrei Chaim used to always say that when he grew up, He was Am Haaretz, but he had a lot of Yerushalayim. He had a lot of Yerushalayim. He was afraid of Chilul Shabbos, like the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Hilchos Shabbos from the Yaris Vash. If you don't go through Hilchos Shabbos, you can't keep Shabbos. He was petrified. So the beginning of Shabbos, his wife said, he used to tie himself into his bed. Arms, legs, in the bed, and that's where he stayed the whole Shabbos. So that he knew that when it came to Avdolah, he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. That was his Shabbos. And his wife proudly told the Divrei Chaim that this is what my husband does. The Divrei Chaim said, I still recommend strongly that your husband should untie himself and learn Hilchos Shabbos. She said, why? He said, as good as he learns Hilchos Shabbos, he won't be able to keep it better than he does. He said, Erez mevatel ayedim minut from Shabbos. The korosol the Shabbos oinig. Ulachvoyin Hashem b'chubit. Shabbos is something to accomplish. Shabbos is something that should mean something to you. Shabbos is a day of rejuvenation. The Novi says, Helimu. They were malim from Shabbos. Shabbos didn't have the meaning that it's supposed to have. And that's the time. What did you do with your Shabbos? Did you tie yourself in your bed? Avada. Chil Shabbos is Chil Shabbos. The Ramah brings down, if somebody's Machal Shabbos b'shoikik, he needs to fast 40 days. It's a halach and shulchan aruch. Shin lama dalad, the Ramah brings down. Right? That's Machal Shabbos. But there's a different bechina of looking at our Shabbos and saying, what is our Shabbos? What does it mean? How many people go through Shabbos and they come out of Shabbos and they say, you know, I'm a different person. I did something. Shabbos inspired me. Something happened Shabbos. I made something of my Shabbos. Can we really say that our Shabbos was loy helimu? The Lashon of the Gemara says is that Shabbos was ignored. Not that it was mechul. Not that somebody came and put on a light on Shabbos. They were malim from it. Helimu from Shabbos. Do we know the value of Shabbos? Reb Chaim Ha'ozhenel brings down that his Rebbe, the Vilna Goyim, once touched a peel on the table. He touched something and turned out it was a peel of a fruit. And when he noticed that it was a peel, he fainted, because it's muksa. They revived him, he fainted again. He said, muktze, muktze. Can you imagine? Muktze. Reb Chaim Ha'ozhenel said it happened four times. That they revived him and he fainted. He kept on saying, muktze. Okay? After four times, the Vilna Goyen's Rebbetzin said, Gornish Telfin, you're not going to help my husband. As long as he's thinking muktze. She jumped and she ate that peel. She said, Echikda Weizen de Mana says, I'm oichel. When he saw his wife eat it, now it's not really muktzah, it's a food, it's edible. He was revived. You're talking about understanding what Shabbos means. What's main Shabbos? I was there when I was a kid, I learned b'chavrusa with the Manchester Rosh Hashiva's son-in-law who lived in Muncie for some years. So I learned with him. See, he said over that the Manchester Rosh Hashiva's atzal was away on vacation in the summer, in some, you know, bungalow colony type setting. And the bacher that was with him, they carried svarim to go from the Beis Medrash to where they were sleeping. Then when they got back, they realized that there's one shaila on the Erev, whether the Erev was good. So the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva's son-in-law told me that the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva did not sleep the whole Friday night. The boy who was with him saw he didn't sleep the whole night. He said, what happened? In the morning, he said, what happened? He said, it could be we carried on Shabbos. He said, yeah. He said, but I carried. He said, ich kenne schlafen if you carry. He couldn't sleep because the other guy carried on Shabbos. That's Shabbos. So when we go through the Gemara, and we see that was the first reason that there was Churban HaBayis, and we go through Tisha B'Av, We must, it's incumbent upon all of us to mechazik our Shabbos. Mechazik Shabbos. Number one, learning the halachas. Everybody should be makabel. It should be a year where you become a proficient in Hilchos Shabbos to know Meirei Shabbat Gemira. And to make something from Shabbos. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, v'lasa Yisrael sa Shabbos. Nachas v'sholem to matona toiva b'veiz genozai Hashem gave us. To use it. And I think perhaps that the reason why that's the first reason for the Churban Beis HaMikdash listed in the Gemara, besides for the standard reasons that we know, I think because Shabbos is a day of Ashras HaShechina. Shabbos is a day where every Jew can reach a higher level of Ashras HaShechina. That's what the whole Neshama Yisera is. That's what it's a connection that we have to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, if we don't use Shabbos, we're diminishing the value that we have for Ashras HaShechina. And if we're diminishing the value we have for Ashras HaShechina, how in the world could we have a Beis HaMikdash? I always tell the boys in the yeshiva one shmooze when I talk about tefillah. I say, Rabbeisai, our shuls, you want to know what our shuls are? It's a shidduch date. I always give the same example because I feel it's very real. So imagine you pick up a girl, okay? And there's all kinds of things, halachas today, what you're supposed to do. You walk, you're not supposed to walk in front and the back, and all kinds of halachas, what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to open the door. You do a bunch of things on a date that everybody knows goes away very quickly. Some of them are bottle, as they happen, they're bottle. Very few of those minhage dates stay. But l'maisa, if a guy never opened up for the girl, he doesn't open up the door in the restaurant, you could live a happy life with your wife, even if you didn't every time open the door for every other time. You could. But on a date, it's... Now imagine if you ignore your shmishudeches on the date, like you do when you come back after their work and your wife's talking to you. Genug is up. Baruch shepetrani mi'anshe shilvah. Imagine you do it on a date. As a guy comes on a date. Listen, Bachram also have rough days. Not only married people have rough days. Imagine a guy comes on a date, the first date. He sits in the lounge, and he's turned out. The girl says, I'm talking to you. Because I'm sorry, it's been a rough day today. Meshugin kapalein. Imagine he starts lacing into a little bit also. What's with you? Don't you see I'm harried? I'm exhausted. What's the matter? What? It'll be the last date, right? What's the pshat? Because a date is a time when you're trying to endear yourself to the other person. This is my best. Look what I could be. I am not going to be that way. Good, Kasha. But I could. Possibly. So what's it? Beis HaMikdash, every shul is a Beis HaMikdash mat. Every shul is a Beis HaMikdash mat. Every shoe is the Abish says, I took away the Beis HaMikdash, but I'm giving you a mokum where we meet up. It's a shtikul ha-shidduch. If you treat that with disgrace, what do you expect the Abish to say, okay, let's go back? See, ta'ini b'gvuleinu, v'shom na'alev, and what? You can't even go out, you can't even go on a date like a mensch. How do you expect to have a chasana? So Shabbos is his man that the Eibishter is special kesher with Klal Yisrael. So if we're malim from that, we have no rights to a Beis HaMikdash. So I was thinking to answer about Avigdor Miller's question. The Midbar where we had the absolute opportunity, we were surrounded with Anani HaKovetz. So the level of what we had to get from the Shabbos then, and we didn't, Zokte Novi Chilu Mo'oid, not the Lamatas Melachas, Helimu, not to take from Shabbos what we're supposed to take from Shabbos. That's the point. And that's why I feel it's incumbent upon all of us to mechazek the Inyan of Shabbos. In two parts, Halacha, that every person should have a Kriyas in Halacha, and it does wonders, even at home, to learn with the family. A couple of halachas every week, it's mechazek the whole Indian of Shemiras HaShabbos. And to give it the value, to talk about it, to feel it,
the value of Shabbos. And that would be a gewaltige zchus. That's the first time found in Chazal. The first reason. Found in Chazal. For the chum. I heard the Chaznish was once mevaka choyle, a guy, Adam Godel Batura, who there was a bus accident, and he got very sick. And he was hospitalized. The Chaznish went to be mevaka choyle. The Chaznish went to the hospital and looked at the choyle, who was a Godel Batura. And he told him, what did you do to deserve this? But it was a rhetorical question. But he asked, what did you do to deserve this? So this God will turn to the Chaznish. He goes, you think it's felt my Averis? You think I'm missing Averis? I have, I deserve it. So the Chaznish says, no, but you're a God will be Torah. Torah migni umitzli. Torah protects you. What did you do? Chaznish asked him, when did the bus accident happen? It happened on Friday. He was coming from Yerushalayim, wherever he was traveling. When did you leave? The Chazanish said he left too late. He said, given a pagam in Kedusha Shabbos. He says, that's what happened. So the Talmud Chacham turns to the Chazanish. He says, what about Torah Migni and Mitzli? He says, on Shabbos hotman garnished. Without Shabbos, we have nothing. Without Shabbos, we have nothing. So that's something I would ask all of you, that together, ani b'seichachem, to work on it. So from a yediyah standpoint, and also from a inspiration standpoint, not to allow a Shabbos to go by, that we're not misala, we don't together misala. And if we do that, we're showing, we're valuing the kesher we have with Kudsha Baruch Hu. And that's chus alone. I'm going to stop after this time, because it's to go to the next. The next one is Bitul Krishma. It's a long arichas. Leave that for now. We should be zeicha biyachad to work on our kesher with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, to feel primarily that we want to be more connected, like we spoke about the Indian of Vad, a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll be zeicha b'schal zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be shov l'tziyon b'rina, and we'll be zeicha biyachad lalois l'tziyon, and we'll see the Binyan Hashem, Boni Altilo, Nochor Shalzi, and Torah, and Nizke, Chuloni Yachad, Mehir, Eloi, Eloi.